Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? Welcome into the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast Week 13 review. We got some Week 14 waivers. I'm Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. And we are breaking all of it down. What is, in theory, the final regular season week coming up for fantasy? And then week 15 usually moves into the playoffs. People have differences. Sometimes it's like 2 weeks of playoffs. Some people like to do the two plus weekend of playoffs. I feel like there's more discussion around this around baseball. Bog, any take on football playoffs? You think 15, 16, 17, that's the proper way and you do it where you have a first, a second round, and then go into a championship? Or are you more of a, I feel like we've had leagues where you'll put only like four people or six people in the playoffs where someone gets a bye and then it's, I guess that's how that could work.
I think I like six playoffs regardless, or six teams in the playoffs regardless of the size of the league. So if it's 12 teams, six get in. If it's 16, six get in. You know, I like that format where
I like the eight for big leagues. I don't like it for 16 team leagues. I like the eight.
I just like rewarding the top two teams with a bye. I think that's fair. You know, if you're one of the best two teams in the league the whole year, I think you deserve that bye. So, and some people do it like where the best record goes and then the most points go. But I don't do that. It's just the two best records for me. It's, you know, the schedule's not fair in a year. So I don't want to hear it.
As long as you don't play to week 18. Week 18 is like, that's always the big critical one. We say that for any sport. Just don't count the final week if you can, because it's not going to do you any favors unless everybody wants to drop everybody and you start, you know, you're starting like third string running backs and stuff like that. And just weird, goofy crap. I mean, the worst part about it is a team that's like, yeah, we're going to be competitive. And they play a guy for, you know, a quarter and a half and then they sit. So that's the crazy stuff. You guys don't have to worry about that. What you do have to worry about is Bipocalypse 2. It's the second version of Bipocalypse. Six teams in week 14. What a great time to throw in a bye week in week 14. So we will talk through the big plays. There is some waiver conversation. And the reason I would say there's more waiver conversation is that huge pile of crap Sunday night football game. Before we do, though, inthisleague.com. Be a part of the ITL Army. Bring up my spirits, because that game pretty much broke them for the rest of the NFL season. InThisLeague.com on the Patreon. Get access. Bogman sends out ranks right before Sunday every single week for your weekly. He's got Dynasty. He's got IDP. He's got the whole thing, plus working on all the rookies. We've got baseball in tow. We've got Dynasty and all of that. Plus, we've got GroupMe rooms where you can have access to our community, ourselves, and our live shows, where like Thursday Night with Bogman and stuff like that. You got to be a part of the Army. So check it out today. Support your boys at InThisLeague.com. It is not confirmed, but Christian McCaffrey is done for the year. Like, there's been multiple reports. Ed McCaffrey, I mentioned this on Out of Bounds with Kay Adams, was kind of like, oh, you know, like if he can play, he's going to play. And talking about PCL strains, Schefter, that he's done. That looked bad. You have a good speculation. They're calling it a PCL strain. It looked like he blew out his entire calf with how it waved in some videos. Just looks really bad for McCaffrey. And we got like barely over three games of him. He never got his footing in. I bet him to score a touchdown every single week he was active. And we could never get there. And maybe we'll get better news and I'm crying wolf bogs, but I believe McCaffrey is done, which now once again makes Jordan Mason the biggest and baddest waiver wire claim out there in the land if he's not already rostered.
Yeah, I don't have him in the waivers because he is already like rostered at a 70% clip. So he's not available in every league. But you've had, we talked about it with Joe on Out of Bounds. Like he had to cut him last week just to, you know, make some roster moves, and they just weren't using him at all. So it was like, this is a dead stick on my roster. Now, obviously, he becomes a top 15 running back moving forward. So, yeah. And I just, why would you believe a single thing that the 49ers tell you about an injury this year? They've lied through their teeth about everything. So I just don't buy that this is a PCL strain, you know.
Well, but they don't know yet, by the way. Like, they haven't even done the MRI. That's happening today. So we're not even. I mean,
so how would they know that it's a PCL strain, right? Well, so it cuts both ways, right? Like, maybe this is not as bad. Like you said, maybe we're being Debbie Downer. It looked bad. It was in the snow. It was non-contact. Like, we are all fearing the worst. So maybe it's not as bad. But I just don't believe a word that they tell me
I think that's all you're being driven by. Mick Shanahan, about Shanahan not being able to tell the truth and stuff like that. I think that's driving everything you're saying, because
driven by what has happened this year.
Fine. I'm not even getting into that. Like, once we get the report, then they can start creating their lies, and then we can care about what Shanahan and them have to say. Right now, we don't. It looked bad. It was a non-contact injury. He has a history of this injury, whether it was his knee when he fell down the play before, or his PCL, or the wavering of his calf on the back. No matter which one it is,
usually indicates an Achilles tear.
It looks awful.
Bilateral Achilles tendonitis.
They're not playing for anything. They've got two capable backs. I don't see a scenario where he's back. And if he is, it ain't going to be this week after that. They're going to run Jordan Mason out there against the Bears. There's no more must-win situations for the Niners. They're done. They're cooked. And it is a really weird thing, because it's like the people that either held on to McCaffrey or made a trade for him, you know, I don't even know if you were in it, but you were building up to something. That's now cooked them in the most critical time. And Jordan Mason, if you own, could be the biggest boon. And I hate to like have a celebration off of it. I have all those places when I drafted Jordan Mason. I drafted Jordan Mason in our pentathlon for. I was like, we got to have him. Didn't cut him anywhere. I don't have him cut anywhere. So I have him on all the teams moving forward. So this is a huge benefit for me. If I have one FFPC, I have to move on to the next round, and it's going to come down to Monday Night Football. If it happens, I just got an RB1. It's hard to get RB1s at this stage, and Mason is that. So if he is available, whatever you have, you just dump on it. That's the early waiver thing on this. But it's brutal for CMC, and I think he's done for the year, and I think the Niners are just, they're just kind of cooked, and I really don't know what they're going to be playing for, but you're going to probably see Eddie Guerrero and Mason.
I know you're, I know you're hurting right now and everything. I still think your division is winnable. I don't know that the Niners are going to do it. But it's weak, that division. So I think it's still a possibility.
The only reason it's winnable is because everybody's close, but it's like, if the Niners aren't going to do it, then it's not winnable for them. It's winnable for someone else. And I think that's the key. They'd have to win out, and they do have, I think, like,
I think I trust Seattle more than any other team in that division right now. And I don't trust Seattle a lot. So like that's kind of my thing. It's just, it's too many injuries. It's like, you know, I know Erickson likes to talk about how you guys had the best health last year, and this year you don't, you know, but it's kind of gone the complete opposite way. They've been way more banged up. And, we were exchanging some texts yesterday, not really an exchange because you were just done, but I was complaining about the training staff and the lies from, the Niners organization. I would wipe out this whole training staff. Like, they brought back CMC too soon. They brought back Nick Bosa too soon.
Did they bring him back too soon, though? It was 10 weeks.
Yeah. I don't care. He should not have played this year. He should not have been on the field this year.
But I guess, like, my only argument to that would be, like, well, what does it matter if he's hurt and he's back? Now, if he blew out his Achilles and he's going to be missed next season, then the whole staff needs to be fired. If it's just he's going to miss the
season, I think that's what happened. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. Because I want to see CMC on the field. And that's why I'm so mad, right? Is because I feel like they brought him back too soon. And I feel like this is going to end up being an Achilles tear because he has Achilles tendonitis already. So, I don't know. what are they doing that's right? You know, and yeah. we're not getting these reports correctly. We didn't know Brandon Allen had a busted finger. You know, we didn't know whether Brock Purdy was going to play last week or not. Like, they're just not doing anything correctly the way it's supposed to be done by NFL standards. And I would go and find somebody else that'll do it all right. So I don't
know
what's going on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
It's predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
Bigger 49er questions, but McCaffrey expected to be out. Jordan Mason is going to be a huge boon, and he's an absolute start next week. If McCaffrey, once we hear the news, Jordan Mason will be a must start, probably top 15-ish running back. Bears have actually given up quite a few rushing touchdowns over the last month. That's something you can do on them. The Niners defense have to play up to, you know, to keep them off the field, but they do a good job of getting themselves off the field, which gets more opportunities.
I keep thinking of more examples to be hateful to your training staff, by the way. Jordan Mason came back for one play earlier this year and then went out again. Did he not? Like,
yeah.
What is happening?
I'm not really sure that. I mean, that's something different. I don't know. Like, I don't feel the same way as you do about that. Like, they're trying to play, and then he couldn't play. He got out there and didn't play, and that's.
I understand, but the staff is there to prevent you from playing. You know, to protect you from yourself. And he played one play and came out of the game. I don't know. Now I'm getting mad. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't have the same feelings on the staff and stuff that you do on that. The Bears. Let's talk about the Bears. This is one we can all have a nice, fun, joyous laugh at. Only reason to talk about this was, yes, it was insane. And speaking, they're going against the Niners this week. So that's going to be just a chaos game. Yes, it was insane for that meltdown of how many seconds did they have? Was it really like,
it was like 40 seconds, it was 39 40? Seconds.
I thought it was like 23 seconds or something. I thought it was more 23 seconds that they had.
It doesn't matter. They should have called the whole
timeout. They didn't call a timeout. And Caleb said like the play that they had knew was going to kill the clock. So he audibled out of it and that cost them and Eberflus. And then worse was Eberflus then defended what he did after. And then the Bears were like, get the out of here. You're done, dude. Rightfully so. He lost the team. They fired Waldron. He's out. Thomas Brown, the passing game coordinator, he's going to be the head coach moving forward. Potential, as we were like, was a dead cat bounce type of thing where it's like, you know, you have the head coach bounce. It's funny that Joe said that term. I was going to say that term on there, that exact one, the head coach bounce, where you have a new coach coming in. The positive for them is going to be it's a passing coordinator. They want to unleash Caleb more. They're probably going to theoretically try to push the ball deeper because that's what you can do against the Niners. I don't know. Like the Bears fantasy options are not as bad as people are going to think because if Nick Bosa is back, they're going to be in Caleb's face all day and make him make those really stupid decisions. But the Niners don't have a pass rush right now. So that's not the case. And if Caleb has time, he's going to succeed. But the Bears are in a new scheme. And I would not be shocked, by the way, if the Bears finish out strong the rest of the year with this.
Yeah, honestly, like, you know, they got rid of Shane Waldron and put Thomas Brown in there. And so he's gone from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator to head coach over the course of like 5 or 6 weeks here, whatever it is. So big promotion for him. But we've seen the surge that the offensive has had under his leadership, right? And they haven't been winning games, but they have looked way better, specifically Caleb Williams. So hopefully this is something that propels them forward. We've heard all the rumors about who could be next, Ben Johnson, Bobby Slowick, Cliff Kingsbury, most likely to be an offensive guy that can stick around for a little bit for Caleb Williams. I think it's Cliff Kingsbury. I don't like that hire, I think that'd be a bad hire. But I think if you had Cliff Kingsbury and then brought in an experienced defensive coordinator, you can make it work with like kind of two co-head coaches and Kingsbury leading that. But and we've seen Kingsbury make some adjustments, right? He's not all 100% go, 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 pass, pass, pass. Washington's looked pretty good running the ball this year. So, you know, he has adapted and adjusted a little bit. So maybe he's a better hire than he was for Arizona. But yeah, I mean, for the rest of this season, I like this Bears offense, but it has been more going through Caleb, and DeAndre Swift has taken a pretty sturdy backseat here in what he was doing earlier in the season.
I think the running game is going to be the struggle. I think Keenan and DJ Moore are solid starts. Adunze want to be. They keep getting him targets. It's just he still keeps having the connection issues between whether it's Caleb or Adunze. But I think those passing options are going to be much better this week and moving forward for the rest of the season. I'll have much more trust. And a guy like Keenan Allen's a guy that's going to eat the 49ers up. Absolutely will eat them up, and he'll probably have 8 catches for this coming week. So Bears are going to rank a little bit higher against that. Just beat up 49ers defense. Again, if Nick Bosa's back, maybe that changes just a tiny bit, but new head coaching changes. The other just huge piece for you, again, bi-pocalypse. This week, Baltimore, Denver, Houston, Indy, New England, and Washington all out. Those are the likes of Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, May, Jaden Daniels, running backs of Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Jonathan Taylor, Brian Robinson, Ramondre, and wide receiver core is a little bit less, but you got Nico that's out of there. Terry McLaurin is out of there. Sutton, Zay Flowers. I mean, there are some big, huge players. I mean, 6 teams, duh, I guess, but there are just some big players missing that a lot of us are going to feel. So hopefully you have the roster construction set. Or you've got, by that I mean bench, or there's waiver wire options, because we're all going to be faced with probably having to make a few tough decisions if you you don't have the proper balance to your team right now. Like, I look at a couple teams and I'm like, oh, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got 2 wide receivers that are out. I got to make that move. Luckily, in our like pentathlon, I think we're more than fine. We already kind of suffered. Our bi-pocalypse was hit the last couple weeks earlier, and this week we're not suffering as bad. But I mean, if you got like a Ravens stack out there, I got a Derrick Henry and a Mark Andrews team that are both missing from that roster. It's pretty brutal, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at my 3 sport team. I've got Lamar, Tank Dell, Cortland Sutton, Mark Andrews all on bye this week. So, yeah,
is it a must win?
No, I don't know that it's a must win, but I need wins here. So, yeah, I do have Sam Darnold, but one of my running backs is going to be between Ray Davis and Jonathan Brooks. Not great. My wide receivers are like Mason Tipton and Josh Naylor.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Oh, I do have Will Disley at tight end, but yeah, I'm going to be digging in on the waiver wire, it looks like, to find something.
And hope, but you wish there was a Bear that was going to be there, but all those guys are going to be owned. So big, big bye week. Only other thing, I just wish they would do something about this. I don't know like how else to do it. It just seems so wild that a team could have a bye week in like week 5 and then a team has to in week 14. I'm not sure.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league...
There's an advantage either way. If you're going to do these 6-week buys, I don't know, dude, just do it in the middle of the season. Do 4s and 6s in the middle of the year. Get it done with. I feel like when you get to week 12, you should be done with bye weeks. I don't feel like it's that hard.
Okay. That's fine. But you're going to have bigger bi-pocalypses. You're going to have more. You're going to have like 3,
You could have 7 weeks of four teams, and you could go from week 5 to week 12.
But they don't do Thanksgiving at all because of the weird schedule. So you have to take that one out.
Okay, so then start it at week 4 or go to week 30. I don't know. I mean, it's more, I understand it's like fantasy.
Well, listen, they don't care about the bye weeks. Remember, the NFL had an odd number of teams for like 3 years, and we'd get at least one team on bye week all the way through the year. So they don't really care about the rest. And they're going to add another game to the schedule, it looks like, within the next 2 years. So, yeah, they really don't care about player safety. So do it whenever you want. I don't care. But like, yeah, it does feel weird to have it this late in the season.
I think we are going to have a crunch of questions coming in, like over on Fantasy Pros on the Sunday morning show. I imagine it's going to be crazy because some big, big decisions. And we are here for you. We'll be doing ranks later in the week as well. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the positional stuff and what happened and what waivers might look like. We'll throw Jordan Mason into the mix, even though he is fully owned. But what else is there? That's the big question. We'll do more right after this.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league,
this is the way. Stop touching things.
Let's start with the quarterbacks in week 13, the nastiest of all the hits this week. And came against Trevor Lawrence, Al-Shaair. I always forget. He was a 49er, a linebacker.
Al-Shaair
absolutely unloaded on him. I said it in Out of Bounds where you were kind of alluding to, like, hey, it didn't, like, it ended up being bad, but it wasn't like the nastiest hit of all time. My problem with it was
the hit.
The nasty part was he was clearly laying himself out, Lawrence was, and you hit him. It looked nastier now because these guys, and he did this, doesn't lead with his helmet, or if they are leading with their helmet, they put their hands out in front. So with more force, wham, hands out in front and just slam Trevor Lawrence. And then the helmet ends up hitting as well. But that's like a tactic to help avoid leading with the helmet in some points. And just the pure speed of it and the hit itself was disgusting. It was just disgusting because also Lawrence is just clearly laying out and he's going to get suspended. And Lawrence, I mean, I don't know, man, it's a nasty concussion. He will for surely miss this week. And we've seen multiple weeks.
On the fence. Yeah. It's one of those things where you're at the end of a bad year. You're almost assuredly going to fire this head coach. Like, you know, we are not rushing him back.
Can you believe he still has a job, by the way? We haven't even talked. No. Like, it's crazy.
No, but I also, you know, what is the point in firing him now, right? Like, you can already start your new head coaching search. You don't have to get permission from Doug Peterson to start looking around. So I just think that there has been so much turmoil and turnover for Jacksonville. They're like, you know, the players aren't coming to Shad Khan and saying, we hate Doug Peterson, right? Doug Peterson is a good dude. And it seems like he still does have a nice grip on the locker room, but just the results are not coming. So, you know, I think they need to sweep out everything in Jacksonville from head to toe. You know, everything below ownership needs to go.
You're the cleaner, dude. I think we need to get you into these organizations. You're just like, get rid of everything for everybody if it's not working.
Trev Baalke? Baalke's been miserable forever.
Another former, like, stupid 49er.
He should never have had a job in the first place.
I'm here for it, by the way. If you were in charge of that for the Niners, everyone's gone. Jaguars, everyone. Who else are we cutting? Name some other organizations.
Bengals, those.
Browns, Ravens.
No, I think a lot is good in the NFL, but some of the bad is bad. And, you know, I think, again, I think Doug Peterson's a good dude. I think he can be a good OC. And I don't think he's made egregiously terrible decisions. I just think his offense is very vanilla. I think what the Jets are doing with Aaron Rodgers, I think his offense is old and figured out at this point, right? So, like, there are many, many things that need to be changed in the NFL, and this is one of them. But I just why would you even come close to rushing back Trevor Lawrence?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh! I think it's Mac Jones the rest of the way through, and I hope not. I would love to see Trevor Lawrence. We need to get him games.
I'll bet you it's not, but I bet they will slow roll this. I'll bet you he's out a couple weeks.
2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'll bet you it's Mac this week, next week, and then maybe if Lawrence is healthy, get him back out there. That would be my expectation. But don't be surprised when he is. And the biggest fantasy implication to all of this was really Brian Thomas. But, you know, hat tip, I suppose, to Mac Jones, because like he did
a little better.
Yeah, he didn't completely destroy Brian. I mean, he completely overthrew him on a 50, 60 yard, could have been a touchdown. But he got him involved, got him a touchdown. So that makes you feel good. So maybe he's not completely devoid and depleted of fantasy talent. Kirk Cousins, though, this week was devoid. 245 with 4 picks, 24 completions, 4 intercepts. I had to start him in a league. I mean, I think he was like close to negative points in some spots with those interceptions. He was terrible.
I was listening to Check the Mic, Sam Monson and Steve Palazzolo, and Sam said, look, when Kirk Cousins is bad, it's real bad because he has physical limitations. The arm isn't as good as it used to be. So he's there for his brain, right? Like he's there for his decision-making, and it's usually correct. So when it's bad,
if Alzheimer's,
it's bad.
Forgets where he is?
No, what he's saying is like he doesn't have the athleticism to bail him out. He's not Anthony Richardson. He's not, you know, any Jaden Daniels. He can't make mistakes and then make up for them later. So that's exactly what we saw here. I expect a much better effort for him against the Vikings. It's the revenge game. He should know that defense pretty well. He should help them game plan on defense for his own team as well, knowing that offense. So I do like the Falcons in that game, and I like Kirk Cousins to have a big game, but this is just the example of, you know, and we've seen it with Aaron Rodgers too. When it goes bad for these old guys, it goes bad. And this is just the Chargers defense has been outstanding this year. And Derwin James had an unbelievable game in this one. But yeah, Kirk Cousins was awful, and the targets suffered because of it.
Over on the quarterback side, or I'm sorry, the running back side, my man, Bucky Irving went ballistic. 25 for 152 in a score, had another 33 in the air receiving. Rashad White, 11 for 76, you know, nothing to scoff at. But Bucky, you know what's killing me, dude, is I had Bucky in a touchdown parlay, and I individually did his touchdown bet. And the first half, he got 2 opportunities in the red zone. No more Sean Tucker, by the way. Just like I said, that was done. Tucker's done. It's Bucky Irving's show. And he couldn't get him in, and I was like, man, I was so close. And then he got that touchdown later. Bucky's the man. And it is very difficult because it's one of those situations where it's a couple running backs that are getting 10-plus carries, and Bucky can get 15 or so. But Bucky is like over 5 yards per carry. He's a freaking madman. Every week goes by, they're loving him even more. He's an RB1. You agree with me? He's an RB1. He's the guy. And it's tough because that might have been his biggest fantasy performance of the season. It was a great matchup. But like, I think
well, you we can talked just about put, the schedule, though. It's good.
It is really good. I'm trying to remember who it all.
Here it is. Was. It's the Raiders next week.
Love.
And then Chargers. So not good.
Don't love. But
then he finishes off against the Cowboys and Panthers.
All in. Oh, Panthers in championship week again.
Saints are the dead last where you shouldn't be playing in championship, but that's a decent matchup as well. So, like, these matchups are outstanding. And I don't like the fact, as you said, it's still 43 snaps for Bucky, 42 for Rashad White. So that is still split down the middle. I don't know if you can do that after this performance. Like, it was the Panthers, so you can tap the brakes a little bit on the excitement here. The Panthers are bad. They're beat up as well on defense. But this performance was outstanding, and we didn't, you know, they gave the ball to Rashad White a decent amount of times. We didn't see him ripping off these huge runs like Bucky did. So Yeah, I mean, Bucky is absolutely the man in Tampa right now.
And, you know, he's just trustworthy no matter what. Even in that Chargers game, I'm going to put him out there. He's in that RB1 territory. I got one for you. McCaffrey's out. Jordan Mason or Bucky Irving?
I think I just like the health of the Bucks offense a little bit more than the Niners right now. So I think I'd have to say Bucky.
Yeah, I would go Bucky, I think, by a notch.
I think we're going to get more Garendo because Mason went down earlier this year with the shoulder as well. Like, maybe you don't want to give him 20 carries a game. Maybe Garendo needs to get a little more involved.
I mean, you're talking about Shanahan, though. So, like, I still disagree. Like, this is the same thing as McVay, where people are like, well, you know, like Blake Corum. And it's like, nope, it's still Kyren. Garendo will get carries. But if there are 25 carries in that game, I guarantee you 18 are going to Jordan Mason.
Yeah,
so you will still get volume. But my argument to that on the other end is Niners have been just playing piss poor. Like, their offense doesn't look good. I don't know what's up with Purdy. Debo is cooked. Yeah, I mean, they're just not as good. Bucky's had a great schedule.
All those Debo role model commercials during your game as well. After he's like over there sticking his fat finger in Jake Moody's face for missing field goals and stuff.
GTFO. I want no part. I am so done with Debo Samuel. It's not funny. Worthless. Goes on his podcast. I'm done. I am completely done. I'm done with that. Get rid of them both. Trade Ayuk and Debo for a bag of balls. I don't care, for a Jamba Juice, you know, with an extra shot Jamba of Juice something. Still open? I don't know. It sounds amazing right now. I could really go for Jamba Juice, doesn't it? Yeah. And then just let me have Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall as the two wide receivers. We'd be fine. Yeah, Bucky Irving. I think I would slightly lean Bucky Irving here. Speaking of the Rams, Kyren, 15 for 104 and a score. And finally, we did see some more Blake Corum. He had 8 carries for 42. He ate into the snaps more than he has been, but I'm not sure like what he took in snaps was like really, really like warning sign that Kyren's going to move down.
No, I you know, he got a little bit more. I think this is just like, let's get Blake Corum a little bit of experience here, but still only 18 snaps to 38 for Kyren. Outsnapped him by 20. It's just a little more change of pace. Kyren's had a long year, and maybe that's part of it too. So, I just think I'm not worried about Blake Corum at all. But I do think if you're rostering Kyren and you have an extra spot at the end of your bench, go pick up Blake Corum and have him as a handcuff. I think it's a smart move.
McCaffrey didn't teach you anything. Like, you should. Corum looks good out there too. He's not going to get
good back
enough run. Bigger concern, Breece Hall, 12 for 60. Did actually have a pretty good snap run in there, but looked hurt. They had a little bit of Braylon Allen got involved in the passing game, and then Isaiah Davis ended up just getting some touches. I don't know, man, with the record, this is kind of what I've been saying about all the Jets. Like, this team is, I guess they did pull off the win, kind of falling apart. What are they playing for? Breece is banged up. I do not like this for Breece rest of season. And not that you can make moves and stuff like that. I do, though, think that Breece is in a spot where if you had Jordan Mason, Breece Hall and Bucky Irving, Breece is three of that list for me.
I think we're panicking too much on Breece. I still think Breece is by far the best running back out of that group, and it's not even a question. Maybe I don't know if he's 100. I just, in skill, he's the best.
But that's not what I'm arguing. I'm arguing.
I know. Let me finish my point. So I think that he's banged up right now. I think Aaron Rodgers has quit. I think this locker room is completely fractured. I think everything for the Jets is bad. So I don't want to say I'm out on Breece. I'm not going to put Breece at three there. I'd say fully healthy, even on a bad team, Breece is better.
But I'm only talking about right now. I'm not talking about like ifs and buts. Okay.
But ifs and buts, let's just say that he's healthy this week and he's not hurt. I think a healthy Breece Hall is better. And I think they rushed him back. Maybe they do it again to try to win these games. I don't know what's going on with Breece. Let's see what happens in the injury report this week. But I think if he's good this week, because he just looked like he came back a little, or shouldn't have been playing in this game, he should have rested.
SportsGrid.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
So, and that's why they had Isaiah Davis active, right? He's usually a special teams guy, but Isaiah Davis is a running back that I like better than Braylon Allen. I think he is completely underrated. He's enormous. He's a big back. Love watching him play.
So maybe the key is if Davis is active, Breece Hall is more concerning and you can move him down.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a part of it, but let's just see the injury reports here because I think Breece Hall is a top three running back in the NFL. So if he is banged up, he shouldn't be playing, especially with this bad team, but they're not going to recognize this because they're still trying to scramble and make a wild card and make it work. I mean, they're dead. I think they're the only ones that don't know that they're dead, but they're still trying to make it work here. So, if Breece Hall is up, I have a hard time moving him low in my rankings just because I do believe in him.
Just think there's some worries about him. Also, kind of my surprise, man, was that Chiefs game and how they used Pacheco. Pacheco had he essentially split snaps with Kareem Hunt. They also did put him in passing down situations. My take was like, hey, Pacheco's just going to be out there when he's running. And it wasn't the case. You ended up having them both have 7 carries. Kareem Hunt was almost nothing, a little bit more involved in the passing game. Pacheco had that big explosive run. You had a little bit of P. Ryan in there. So my question is for week 14 here, the Chiefos are playing the Chargers. That's a tough matchup. What do you think the snaps look like? And really, this is about, like, do you think Pacheco is going to play a bigger role? Because he looked way healthier than my expectations in that game. And Hunt was a kind of, Hunt's not going to go away, but do you think this could, like, go to 60-40 in favor of Pacheco?
I do. Yeah, I really do. And I think I was also surprised, but I think we have clear roles, right? We're splitting between Hunt and Pacheco, and P. Ryan is the third down back because he played 11 of 12 third downs. And that's just the role that these guys are going to be in, is they're going to be more split. They want Pacheco to be the guy and not Kareem Hunt. So I was surprised by this workload as well, split down the middle. And I think, like you said, we're going to just see Pacheco start chipping and playing a little bit more. Maybe it is just to start in the regular season here. Maybe it is more of a just 50-50 down the middle split between these guys to keep Pacheco healthy for the playoffs. Maybe that's the goal, but he played way more than I expected him to in this game, and they needed him because they almost lost it. So the Chargers are a tough matchup right now. So I do think we're going to see more Pacheco as the year goes on. And less Kareem Hunt. I think it's bad for Kareem Hunt more than it is good for Pacheco or anything else. I just think it's straight up bad for Kareem Hunt.
I wonder if much changes off of this week, if it's kind of the same. Maybe it's like 10 carries to 8 carries, and then it kind of...
Well, they should be way less effective against the Chargers as well.
Yeah.
So bad matchup.
Yeah, which could be more of a passing matchup, which hurts, which it's like if you... You know, I have Pacheco in a couple spots, didn't start him. I don't know if I'd want to start him over someone viable this coming week, but Bipocalypse is a reason why he could kind of be out there.
Yeah, I mean, if they're having to pass or pass more, we did see Hunt run way more routes. So maybe that would get Kareem Hunt a little bit more involved this week, but it's a bad matchup either way, no matter how you cut it.
Some other running back stuff out there. I know... I think you want to do this because let me ask you this, because you said this the other night, and to me it read like maybe you just didn't believe that Chase Brown was going to like be the guy. I feel like a lot of people have already thought that he was ranked 10. Okay, I'm just saying this because you have him on here. I'm not really sure what.
Yeah,
I guess
my point, is
there.
my point was that I didn't think that Chase Brown was going to get the Jonathan Taylor treatment, right? Like where he's just getting everything. Traded for Khalil Herbert. They moved a pick to get him. So in, I think now we know it's more of a, look, you just don't have other options on this roster. Zach Moss is out, but they are, Chase Brown is becoming more and more. And I talked about that with Fitz, like in the Dynasty show, we were talking Fitz moved Chase Brown up to like a top 12 running back in Dynasty, which I haven't had the stones to move him up that high yet. But I mean, Joe Burrow loves him and he is a perfect fit in this offense right now. So everything they were missing with Joe Mixon, Chase Brown has brought back. So he's a stud. I thought Khalil Herbert was going to be like at least more involved, maybe do that third down thing. Maybe, you know, just have him more involved overall, because the big thing about Chase Brown and why he wasn't involved early was because of his pass protection. They don't care. They do not care at all. It's all Chase Brown. He's a RB1 probably moving forward now. And I think we just have to understand that there's no Khalil Herbert coming. It's going to be the Chase Brown show moving forward here.
Some other running back notes. Brian Robinson was a 416 for 103. Chris Rodriguez looked maybe like a little bit more of an option over McNichols. McNichols did 9 for 34. Chris Rodriguez 13 for 94, but played when the game kind of got out of hand. Brian Robinson still the clear guy, but McNichols not as good. Tony Pollard, a bunch of snaps, didn't have a bunch of production, but more importantly, there was pretty much no Spears in that game. It was all Pollard. Ramondre Stevenson, 18 for 73, but got vultured by Gibson. Something to watch. Aaron Jones benched, but has a game-winning touchdown. Some big running back names in there. Anything you want to hit on those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chris Rodriguez thing was more about game flow and them being up. And so let's just run our guy late to close the game out. I still think McNichols is more valuable than him on a week-to-week basis, but they are splitting Eckler's role between those two guys. It's not really, you know, let's just go with McNichols or let's just go with Chris Rod. They are splitting those, which is annoying. I think this was maybe easing Pollard in. I do think it's going to be close to 50-50 this week, but we'll see with that. And then Ramondre, I'm just glad that he's back to getting the touches. So
what did you mean by the Pollard thing? You mean Spears is going to go 50-50 with him? You said easing Pollard in, but he was everything.
Easing Spears back off of the concussion.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Thing. Oh, okay.
So I think that's what they were doing, because it was much when those guys are both healthy, it has been way closer to 50-50 than this. So I think that they were also just bad this week. So we saw Pollard fumble and they didn't give Spears more, which kind of makes me think that they were easing Spears back in after his, because I think that's the second concussion of the year, right? So he's been banged up a little bit. So but when they're both together.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
It has been typically more of a 50-50, and I expect that to be more of the case moving forward. And then I'm just glad Ramondre's back. I'm not worried about Aaron Jones and the fumble thing. It's not going to bother me. So, not much there.
We saw Chuba get a bunch of work, but he had a fumble. Jonathan Brooks, though, 6 for 18, 3 for 23. So I meant to say this. Chuba got a bunch of the snaps, not a bunch of the work, because when Jonathan Brooks was out there, I mean, of 15 snaps, he touched the ball 9 times. You know, so for that rate, they are slowly moving that in. Chuba's still the guy, but Jonathan Brooks is going to take from that. Vidal when you're looking at the Chargers situation, not a ton of snaps, probably going to be all of them over Haskins after losing that fumble. Roshan Johnson, by the way, had a concussion, and Jags split time between the two backs, which my fear was making them both irrelevant. It's exactly what happened with Etienne and Bigsby.
So. And they're pretty much irrelevant with Mac Jones in there anyway.
Yeah. I look at this like Gus Edwards is going to be their main guy. Vidal might be interesting, not interested in the Jags. Is there any interest in Jonathan Brooks with the workload upticking? He does look pretty explosive out there. I watched a ton of that game because I had like Bucky Irving bets and stuff like that, so I was pretty tied into it. Jonathan Brooks looks pretty explosive given his opportunities, and you feel like, you know, unfortunately next week maybe it's 12, but it's like he's going to have a big breakaway coming up here in the next 2 weeks, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like Jonathan Brooks, really, you know, we didn't see a lot of him at Texas because he was behind Bijan and Roshan, right? So it was like we got 11 weeks of watching Jonathan Brooks be really, really good before his injury in November. But I was extremely impressed with what I saw from him at Texas. And I really think that he can be the lead back in this offense as early as next season. So I think when you start next year, because Chuba had a great year. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from him, and there's a reason he got an extension. And they'll use both of these guys. Like I said, I think parroting what Detroit has been doing is what a lot of organizations are going to end up doing because it's working for Detroit. And I think that's what we're seeing Arizona do by extending Connor. It's what we saw Carolina do by extending Chuba after drafting a guy early last year to be what we thought was the replacement eventually for these guys. They're just going to run with these two back systems. And I think Chuba can, I think Jonathan Brooks can take it over. I think he gets a little bit more, but I still don't think it's going to be enough to make him a viable option until maybe the last couple of weeks. So he's not a start. I mean, I may have to start him in a 16-man league, like I was mentioned before with Bipocalypse. So he's a little safer in regards to that, but still not a guy you want to start if you can avoid it.
Over on the wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb had left with a shoulder injury. Have we had any updates on that? Is there any concern?
I haven't seen anything yet. I mean, that was Thursday. I know he came into that game banged up anyway. It was kind of questionable as to how much he's going to play. I liked him a little bit in that game, but obviously he did not come through for me. So that was tough from some of my, parlays and picks, but I haven't seen anything yet. So if
I'm going to take that as nothing, then I'm going to take that as like, he's going to be okay. If they're not saying anything and there's no updates, that maybe it was a game specific thing.
Wednesday more, we get more of the practice reports then, and we'll see if he's sitting out or if he's practicing on Wednesday, even in a limited capacity, he's going to be fine.
Yeah. Ladd McConkey had a minor knee injury. He ended up having a huge game, 12 targets, 9 catches, 117. Went over 100 in the first half. I think it was like 8 for 108 or 109 or something like that. He's been elite. His targets went way up finally. Then he got knocked out kind of in the second half with this knee injury. Deepak didn't seem to be concerned with it when we talked about the injury, and is a big matchup coming up this week that I believe he'll be out there, but something to watch on the injury reports, but not something that's like any guaranteed missed time. We'll have to see.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly didn't even hear about this injury until after the game. And I was watching him after the game do a, interview on the field about playing back at home because he went to Georgia. So I don't think this is anything to be too worried about.
It was one of those two where like I had one of my first bets of the week was his, God, what was it? It was his yards, I think it was. And then when he hit it, I was like, all right, stop, because I was playing against him in a big league this week. I was like, no more. And then when he got knocked out, I was just like, all right, I got my bet. I didn't need any more. Over on the Chiefs, it noted here, you put heavy rotation still on these guys. Hopkins, a bunch of targets, but only caught 4 for 90. We're seeing a lot more Worthy. He had the same amount of snaps as Hopkins, 4 for 54. I'd actually bet his receiving yard prop. It was pretty low. It was like 34 yards or something this past week. But there was plenty of Juju and Watson who ended up getting one of those touchdowns. So the bulk still goes to the two big guys. And I think the big key here is like Worthy is becoming way more trustworthy where he wasn't.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com.
Legends is a free to play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.